Good morning. Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning and welcome to our September 12th township meeting. It's 9 a.m. We're open for public comment. If you would step up to the mic and state your name and address, please.
Good morning. Larry Prentice, 8147 Karen Highway. Apologize, I missed the last meeting. Schedule problem on my part. I wanted to just cover a couple things in the 3 minutes. One of the things that I wanted to do in the past was to follow up on the meeting that we had with Casey Cook from the Top of Michigan Watershed Council regarding the data for Elk Lake water quality. But before I jump into that, I wanted to get some clarifications. We received a letter June 7th from the township regarding the sewer project, and it gave us an option to pay off the assessment at $16,752 in June. The original amount was $16,525. So I didn't know what the difference was, and I also would like the township possibly to communicate better with other residents on when they have to pay, when is the last date to pay. I understand it's before the tax bill goes out in December. Also in the mail that we received that time, we didn't get this page, which talked about the township excluding the additional charge of $4,000. It says the township is excluding that additional charge for this project if connection to the sewer is made in a timely manner. So maybe an update on what that timely manner might be. And then in the last meeting, I understood that you approved using the Resource Recovery Act funds for purchase of pipe versus the REUs from the village. So just some clarifications to the township residents would be great. Water quality issues, I wanted to again propose on a meeting basis 10 minutes of every agenda to allocate to water quality. I submitted a letter back in December asking about the possibility of doing that. I'm going to resubmit that letter today, and this is similar issues, and then I have an update of the water quality issues since the last meeting. I'll just read these, or do you want to, I can just give it to Shelley and you can read them into the meeting notes at the end.
You go right ahead.
Okay, good. So the water quality update report, May 9th, we had the septic solutions presentation by Casey Cook. June 13th, we presented action items back as follow-up to the township board. One was the bringing Caroline Kesson into from the Top of Michigan Watershed Council to review the data that they have on Elk Lake water quality. The other was to draft a resolution on time of transfer specific septic inspections. And I think at the time we did the meeting, I think the comment was made that you've been working on it and it's something to do in the future. The next action item was to follow up with Northwest Michigan Health Department on their capability to do water quality and testing and data collection and also septic system inspection resources. On June 27th, we received from the Elk Rapids Township Attorney 21 pages of discovery questions and document requests regarding information on septic systems. That went to the 20 parcel owners. On July 22nd, there was a ESLA Sure Thing presentation, the drone presentation done by Samantha Ogle, who is the ESLA biologist, which I thought was incredibly interesting. and talked a little bit about a golden brown algae problem. On August 3rd, there was a report received back on a Elk Lake Canadian goose tested for avian influenza botulism. Came back negative. The diagnosis was toxicosis, which was chronic lead at significant high level. Why it's important is dead birds can often be a sign of avian botulism poisoning, a good indicator of water quality in the lake. August 4th, ESLA shoreline consultant Samantha Ogle did a consult on our property and identified invasive species called an autumn olive vegetation, and that's being removed. August 25th, Eagle did a beach guard contamination advisory for Lake Bel Air, high E. coli levels in Lake Bel Air. August 26th, Mark Stone did a presentation for ESLA regarding the hydrology report and the need to complete that report to include the Elk Rapids Dam. August 10th, the Eagle identified Didymo algal blooms in Boardman River, which is a concern to kayakers and boaters that use both the chain of lakes, the Elk River chain of lakes, and also the Boardman River. August 31st, Leelanau passed the septic ordinance, which is great for them, and it's something that we'd like to see the township move forward with here. September 8th, last week, 17th annual Lake Association Summit was hosted by Katie Wolf, the new executive director, Lauren Day, and Carolyn Kesson introduced the water reporter for data collection and analysis of lake monitoring. Caroline is the one that we wanted to have come back to the meeting and try to get 10 minutes of your time next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, I have a question for him.
On
that discovery that came from Varnum Law in Grand Rapids,
That
was responded to correctly?
By who?
You're talking about the 20 discoveries that was received. I don't think it was received from Derman.
It was from Varnum, yes.
Yes, and that's been responded to?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's 20 different parcel owners.
Exactly.
So 20 different parcel owners had to respond.
But to the best of your knowledge, they have responded.
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, that's, I want to make it clear, that is separate issue with 20 individual parcel owners. They're members of that tax tribunal complaint, and maybe not complaint, but whatever it's called.
Well, yeah, they're freestanding individual 20 complaints.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Don's up.
Sure.
Also, as long as on that subject, I read an article in the Grand Traverse Record Eagle, I believe, regarding an expert from Leelanau County regarding septic and the effects it has on the lake. I think we need to research who that is and get him here also, if that's possible.
Yeah, they were talking about the Leelanau ordinance as well in that article.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a good article. They saw that in Record Eagle.
So can we, should I chase that down and see if the guy would be available?
Sure. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura Shoemate from the Village. I just wanted to make sure, I know Shelley was gonna send you the digital version of our newsletter, but I wanted to make sure that you got the quarterly newsletter. And as we're talking about water and water quality, there's reports in here about sewer water quality, it's sewer and septic. You're talking about with septic, but the drinking water and the sewer reports are in here, information. It's a lot to read digital. I have some paper copies, and if anybody wants them from the audience, they'll be out there, or I have a pile, and just want to make sure. A lot of other really great things going on here, and got to give credit to Caitlin, who she likes to share credit with. We had an intern in the summer, did a lot of great work in here, so it hope you get a few minutes, take a look. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Tom?
Here's
Good morning. I'm Thomas Brown, 8875 Swan Point Road here in the township. We're what I call an eight iron shot just outside of the village limits. Myself and some of my neighbors have considerable concern about short-term rentals. It started last year. It has increased this year. We have got about 16 parcels down there, families that own homes on that private road. We now have three short-term rentals. The problems we're having with them, and I'm speaking for just myself, but for my neighbors as well. The conduct of these short-term rental people, it's absolutely abhorrent. I believe last month or the previous month, my wife and some other members of Swan Point Road came here and they talked to one of the gentlemen on the board about the short-term rentals and the conduct of these people, what's going on, late carousing at night, tremendous noise late at night. On August 25th, I'm in bed sleeping at 10:30 at night, and I wake up to the sound of fireworks. The fireworks continued till 11 o'clock at night, and these are fireworks are shooting up into the air. On the 28th of August, the first house as you come into Swan Point Road is now a short-term rental. These people buy these that are from downstate. They have no presence here in our community at all, and they really don't care about what's going on. And I talked to the people that are driving up and down the road. It's a single one-lane road. And they come barreling down through there, and they want us to get over and move out of their way. And I stop them and I say, do you understand this is a single-lane road? I said, when you rented your premises here, did anybody tell you anything? He said, oh, no, they didn't tell us anything. They don't know anything about it. The first house, as you pull into Swan Point Road, five cars. And these aren't just rented, they're over-rented. They've got tremendous amounts of people, and sometimes even bringing their motor homes in, parking them beside the rental houses. These are commercial enterprises that are taking place in a residential neighborhood. We have a very quiet, very respectful neighborhood, and all of us as neighbors, we get along very, very well. My question to the township is, are you doing any considerations for short-term rentals? Since the village has adopted their policy and they put a ceiling on it, now these property purchasers are going outside the village limits and finding this other beautiful real estate on the water to rent these out with no regard for the local people. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, did you, during all of this fireworks and other things, notify the sheriff? I would assume if it's that bad, you call the sheriff immediately.
No, I did not. I didn't want to be the whiner, the crier. However, I'm going to use this lady's name. Toni Baker lives right next door. She's a single lady. She's a widow. I don't know how old she is, and I don't want to guess, but it frightened her to death. She was absolutely frightened. And one other rental they had over there had a big German shepherd that totally intimidated her. And the people didn't care about it at all. This stuff goes on all the time, all summer long. We're waning down out of it now, but during the summertime, it's like a high-speed traffic zone through there. And I've gone to these residents, and I've talked to them before. I knock on their door, and I say, that vehicle that just pulled in here, I said, that was going at excessive speed. And the one young man says, oh, that was my dad driving. I'll let him know that you talked about it. But we have young children riding their little bicycles on that road. We have elderly people that can't hear very well, and they're barreling down through there. Something's got to be done. Here's what I did do. I didn't call the sheriff department there, but just last week, somebody drove in a little Subaru with garbage bags stacked on their vehicle. And we have a dumpster in there. It's a private dumpster, and a sign says, for residential use only, violators will be prosecuted. Dumped four bags of trash in our dumpster that was already overflowing, primarily because of these short-term rental people. They have lots of garbage as well and lots of beverage cans. So I did call the sheriff department. They responded within 30 minutes. They were there. I was amazed. They came out, made the report. We looked through the trash. We couldn't find any identifying marks. It was truly trash. There was no paperwork in there that we could find. But they did record it, and we're stymied about what's going on. It just seems to be out of control.
We did do a substantial amount of work to get all the townships in the county aligned on the fireworks thing, as you may recall last year.
Yes.
Which makes it much more enforceable for Beam to do that, so you can't enforce it if you don't file a complaint, obviously.
Next time I will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to approval of the meeting agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed, added? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
Support. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Mike Szymanski is absent. The consent agenda. Is there anything there that needs to be changed? Added, subtracted? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve it as is.
I'll second.
Okay. We'll do a roll call vote.
Roll call, Holtz?
Yes.
Soper?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes.
And Mike Szymanski's absent. Motion passes. Go to the sheriff and commissioner report. Not seeing anyone that's actively as a commissioner yet here, so. Is there anything you'd like to add, Bill?
No, thank you.
Okay. As far as there was 14 911 checks, 4 driving complaints, 3 follow-ups, 4 general assists, 2 hazardous condition, 14 marine stops, 2 medical calls, 3 personal injury, 9 traffic stops, 4 tree down, for a total, I lost the total, of 81 events for the month of August.
Darns, we're back to shots fired again. What's that all about?
No idea. There was one. We'll move on. The ambulance department report. We did have a meeting last week. Steve Myers, and actually the runs are up. Everything has been tracking fairly well, even with all the road work. They are having challenges keeping staffing. They've even went to the point of where they're paying people to take the classes to get certified, but they've only got about a 40% recovery rate out of that of people who come through it. So there's going to be a challenge going forward with staffing, but I think everybody pretty much kind of saw that coming. So far we've been staffed, but challenges to move on. Was there anything you remember, Ken, you were there?
No,
that I missed?
Terrible attrition rate of people entering the class versus how many finished. A lot of it's the state testing system. The national registry test is extremely difficult.
So I think that'll be an onward challenge as we go through it. We'll move on to Fire Department, Chief Williamson.
Good morning, Ken Williamson, Fire Chief. We had 11 incidents in August, a pretty normal month. The run breakdown is attached in the back there. We're looking pretty steady volume-wise as compared to past years. Didn't have any glaring runs last month, no structure fires or anything. We're still at 19 members. That's nice to see your numbers you're holding. We discussed this Mavis mutual aid agreement for several months now. I think at the next ACES meeting, they'll make a decision, yay or nay, but it looks like 90% of the fire departments in the county are on board. I talked with Kevin, the Torch Lake Township, they're on board. We're waiting to see what was going on with Milton Township was really our only concern. It looks like they're going to go too, so I'm guessing we're going to adopt that. You can see the parking lot's almost finished. They wanted to give it 48 hours before we drove the big trucks on it, so that's why it's still coned off today, but I think we'll be able to drive on it tomorrow. Looks like it's draining really well. I think they did a good job.
Are they going to stripe it?
I don't know if striping was in that
okay
or not. I have to look at the quote.
Dick brought that up this morning. I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
I don't think it was. I don't remember.
Okay.
So we might have to
somebody needs to get a hold of them because they've got a striping sub. I'm sure they would move before.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to Brittany, see where we're at with that. The mobile data terminals that the county's going to provide, we finally got it. It's been like a 2-year ongoing project. We have a tablet and a main engine, and then the county gave us another tablet. So we'll have tablets in each vehicle that will replace our little aging laptops. That'll include dispatch information. They have cell capability. They have mapping. They also have all our pre-plans for all our businesses in them. So it's a nice tool to have in the vehicles. Harbor Days went real well. Nothing out of the ordinary there. I thought fireworks were great this year. Truck committee is still working on the replacement for that rescue. We did have a demo truck brought up by a new company out of Grand Rapids area, Coopersville, I think it is. Wasn't exactly what we were looking for. They do have another option, and we may do a video conference call with them tonight for our business meeting to see if that might work. Just didn't have the storage capability, and this one had a pump. And they think that they can take the pump off and put a little bit bigger box on there and be able to do what we need to do. So we're looking at it anyway, so we'll see what happens. It's available. That's the big thing. And they have a couple more. Just getting ready for fall. Fire Prevention Week's coming up. School demos, and that's all I have.
Would you just give the board a little insight on the training, because it was something interesting in our MMR meeting, both MMR, the training threshold you've got to go through versus years ago, and then also fires being faced with a very similar situation.
Absolutely. The state fire marshal has made it a requirement now that the firefighters recertify every year in what's called the smoke system. It's a state tracking and training site. So it's just really just going to be an extra step on my part to make sure that the forms are filled out and submitted correctly so that they're tracked in the computer, in the state's fire marshal's computer program. And it's really not going to be a whole lot more than what we're already doing. It's just tracking it. They're going to require 15 credits every year, and we train much more than that as it is already. We usually have 35 or 40 credits, 35 or 40 hours of training a year per person. So
that's a yearly event, though.
Yep.
Requirement.
Yep. So just another, I know it's going to be difficult for some other departments, but.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything for Ken? All right. Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
We'll move on. New private road, Potobico Pines. We received a request to name a private road, but I'm going to ask the board to table it at this time because there's been no work done on it yet or any agreements with either the engineer or our zoning administrator. I guess, Bill, would you?
That's correct, because the zoning administrator has been working on this project road for months. May have been over a year. I don't know, but it's been a long time. And Larry is communicating with the property owner. They've got requirements within our ordinance on private roads. There are standards that must be met. And Larry, there's been no new construction, so he can't report back to the board if the standards have been met. But I don't think the board has any objection to the name, but it's just a matter it's not been built.
No, because they need to go through the county to get it approved, and I don't want to have something start unless it's actually going to be built. And as I drove by yesterday, I hadn't been done yet. I spoke with Larry this morning, and Larry said that he'd been indicating to him all along that you had to get it built and you had to have an engineer approval. And there's two stages. We need an engineer approval, and we need Larry to sign off before we should really feel comfortable about going ahead with it. So if the board will go along with that, just assume table it now.
Yeah, I think we do. You need a motion to table it, or is it?
Please.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to just table the Topco Pines private road right now until we get some more information on it, or if they do any construction in there.
Support.
All right, we have support. Any further discussion? It's been going on for about either 16 to 18 months, and there hasn't been anything done yet. I'm understanding that Carl Stewart Excavating has been employed to do it, and then also Performance is going to do the engineering, but that's what we've been told so far. So I guess we'll take a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mike Szymanski is absent. Township Sewer. See, we have a construction bill. The sewer project is moving along as planned. We've had some problems with materials, different sizes, so they've been kind of jumping around, but to the best of my knowledge, they are still on track. Hopeful to have the Karen Highway project along the road anyways in Spirea done in the next week to 10 days. And then they'll start going cross country to the sewer line. And then they'll do the pressure testing and set up for connections. And what I've been told is sometime late September, 1st of October, potentially, to think about timing for hookup. It'll probably be October. I'm just, from what I'm seeing happen, but so far everything's moved along as scheduled. The construction bill you have in front of you.
It's a breakdown.
The breakdown, is there a, you want to go through that?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do the motion if that's all right.
Sure.
Okay. So we have a breakdown of construction bills, so I move to approve the following. Matt's Underground at a cost of $54,592.96. Varnum Law, bills totaling $10,455, and Bill Derman invoice of $675, totaling $65,722.96, to be paid out of the sewer construction fund.
We've got a motion. Do we have support?
Support.
Okay. We'll do a roll call. Is there any further discussion? And so far, we haven't seen any real traffic issues. They have, through the bore, they've hit some rocks in a couple different places that have generated interest.
Yeah,
they have to pull those out. But otherwise, everything's went pretty well.
Roll call, Soper?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Halts?
Yes.
And Mike Szymanski is absent. Motion passes. Is there anything further on sewer?
Endurance review again, the federal money being put into the sewer project. There was a question.
Oh, yes, we did. We did add it. We had an additional $51,000 the first round, which was applied to the materials. The second round, correct, we are still anticipating, we're intending to buy the REUs, and we're still negotiating with the village on pricing on that. So I'm hopeful in the next few months we will come up with something on that as well.
All right.
Must be the rain.
But shaving.
The ghost of the audience is. Yeah, okay, so that's why the monies were applied to the materials. Rather,
we had two payments of roughly $51,300. I'm going from memory, so it's just, and that's what we did with the first one. We're on the second round. We're still working on the REUs. Anything else? Okay. Move on to Maple Grove Cemetery. Shelley's looking for a sexton.
Yep. I created a job description for a sexton for the cemetery. Right now I'm doing the work. We used to have a sexton, but he retired. And we really do need to go out and try to find someone. I'm a little overwhelmed in the office with all of the other stuff. So if we could find someone that would, it's not a hard job, but it's hard to find the right person who would care for the cemetery like we do. That's kind of the gist of it. So I thought I would advertise for a sexton even now so that maybe we can get someone oriented a little bit until spring, because when spring comes, then there's a lot more work to be done. We don't have it in the budget at this point, but we need to create something.
If our, on the ballot in November, we're asking for some funding for the cemetery, correct?
Correct. If our ballot issue passes, we'll definitely need someone that has more time to put toward the cemetery and help with the, just the coordination of some of that stuff.
Have you talked to Mike about including that in the next year's budget?
Yeah, Mike and I have talked about it several different times, so just didn't put it in this budget.
No, we'll have to talk about that in this coming budget. As Shelley said, we're waiting to see how everything plays out this fall. That'll make some differences.
So really, it's just...
You have not gone out on the street yet, though, for...
I'm sorry, what?
You have not published?
No.
No, okay.
I wanted to present it to the board, see if everybody agreed or has a better idea. But then I would like to publish it, even now, before any funding comes in.
I think you should.
Because there's still a lot of work.
Yeah.
What's the timeframe on that, Shelley? Are you thinking a three-month, four-month period?
For him to work?
Yes.
No, from May through September.
Okay.
Is pretty much what it is. But it's not, we could figure the amount of hours even, because it's, you know, it's so scattered. But if the millage goes through, there'll be a lot more hours than what we would have considered, just because of all the stuff that is going to be going on there.
That would relieve you a lot. It's much needed.
Yes, I'm not doing a good job of it. I'm just going to say that. That needs a lot more attention than what I can give. And, you know, for me running out there trying to take care of that stuff too is you know, it's I'm falling short, I think.
Do you need a motion from us to allow you to do this, or can we just...
I don't know if we need a motion, just an awareness. If you don't want me to do that, if you have any suggestions that can help, I'm all ears. So I'm just kind of spreading the thought.
Just letting the board know that this is in the works.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay. Get the word out and see if you can find somebody, even if it is for next May. Get them involved.
Yep.
You betcha.
Okay.
I'm hopefully good that passes it. Next year.
I'm good with it.
Well, we have a mowing and maintenance group that's out there, but there's a lot of alignment that needs to be done with them with the fallen things, and then we also have to get people into chip and do stuff like that. There's somebody needs to be looking at the cemetery probably on a weekly basis more, and especially when we were having plumbing problems and other things. You know, it just...
So it's a part-time seasonal job.
Right, and we have a contractor that prepares, you know, opens and closes grave sites, but every site's got to be flagged, and you got to be correct. So there's a lot of research going on ahead of time, and then we've got a lot of information that we have to keep on that stuff, and it's, like I said, it's...
It's like meeting with the families on the headstone size, this, you know, little things that come about when you're going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll move on. Charter Communications video franchise renewal. This was just another FYI to the board. We've been approached on it. Mike has been the one reviewing it, actually. And I know Bill had a little bit, he'd been made aware of it, but at this point, Mike, I'll take Mike's words, is he wasn't real interested in going forward with it. He wasn't here to explain it today, but the word I got from him was he just assumed we'd pass on this, but we wanted to bring it in front of the board to make sure that everyone else agreed with it.
That really wasn't what Mike was thinking. We'll both speak for him.
Yeah, go ahead, because maybe I misinterpreted.
The franchise itself should go forward. It'd be a renewal, but what they're saying is we can charge a franchise fee.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And we have not done that in the past. We've just done it, you know, for 0%. For instance, the village has a franchise fee also, and they do charge that, and they get money back from the cable company. We don't have one. We don't think it's necessary. We're not doing anything to create that. So we still need to approve the franchise agreement, whether we want to add a franchise fee or not.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, just for your information, yeah, that's right. There's three things they say to do. Well, the franchise fee, you're the only township in the area that I know has zero on this thing. I did go back and look at Milton Township. We did the same thing in 2007, just for your reference, 2017. Same wording, same everything. It's 0% on the PEG station, the public access stations, because they don't offer it any here. But most townships do 5% on the fees on this thing. They also want you to sign it two places. So you got to choose franchise fees, approve it, sign it in two places, and send it back to them. That's it. Term is 10 years. They'll be back again for a renewal. So I don't see how you can approve the agreement without determining what the franchise fee is going to be as a board. And then you authorize whoever's going to sign it, whether it's a supervisor or a clerk.
So is it your recommendation we add the franchise fee?
I'm just telling you the information. It's another source. You're looking for revenue for township. That's another source. I don't know what it would be. It's 5% of the bill. Acme charges it, Milton charges it. Most townships I've heard of them charge it. The concern was, and maybe you need to clarify in the meantime, was that if the township did it, then the village residents would be paying twice. I don't think that's true. I think the village has an agreement that handles within the village. Your agreement really handles township, but everything outside of municipal areas or other incorporated areas within the village. And you don't have to, it's from 0 to 5%. So you don't have to go nothing or max. It's up to the board.
Yeah. Shelley, why wouldn't Mike want 5%? It's just not like it.
No, I don't have the answer.
That is correct.
I've already botched it, so I'm going to leave that one alone now. Okay. That was the part I got. You know, would it be, could we just table this? Because I would like to circle back to it with Mike.
I think maybe
you and Mike.
Makes a report and recommendation.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I think we need to hear from Mike on this one.
Because I'm ill-informed.
Yeah. We've gone not only 10 years, but every previous year at zero for this franchise agreement. So it would be nothing new to continue on that way.
Do we have enough time to just wait for next month?
Is there a time limit on this thing? We have to have this done by a certain date.
The time limit is well over.
Yeah.
A little longer is not going to matter?
They'll wait for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you were supposed to act within 30 days, and you noticed it got lost somewhere along the way. It's in April, I believe. So
it remains at zero unless...
They just resend it to you, and you can tell them you are waiting for one more township board member to make a report on it, and we'll act on it.
Let's table this till Mike gets back.
Acknowledge receipt of it, yeah.
What's the board's pleasure?
Table.
Okay. We'll need a motion.
Yeah, I move to table the charter franchise fee discussion until Mike Szymanski can have his input.
I'll second that.
Okay.
We have to hear from Mike.
Bill, maybe you can get with Mike and share your information that you have from the other townships. Okay, is there any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mike Szymanski is absent. Okay, we'll move on. Loan parcel 05-43-100-031-01, deed correction of 8.3 feet wide by 82.5 feet long. And I'm going to let Bill handle this one because this is an oldie.
The township board has a copy of the survey on this property and a copy, I hope, of the township or the tax records, really map of it with a mark on it as to where the strip is. There is really four parcels there that are under tax rolls on this thing. For the years along, a title search recently when the property owner wanted to obtain a mortgage to add on to his house, there was discovered a strip 8.23 feet wide by 82.5 feet long. The note on the survey says, note this area 8.23 by 82.5 feet shown as owned by the Village of Elk Rapids. At Liber, dated 1893, recorded Liber 25. Well, it's Liber 25, page 336. And when you get that deed, a copy of it, the parcel is deeded to the Township of Elk Rapids, not the Village. So title came back from the title company is, we need something from the Township. Since 1893, nobody has dealt with this property, this piece. This piece goes through old timers from the Village. There's a little red building there with a silo at the end of it. Same as down by Carolyn Bowles' house. It was the old, I'm assuming, I don't have facts, it was a fire station. I didn't know what the silo was for. I've been told by old timers that's where they hang the hoses up to dry after a fire. They raise them up on block and tackles. Township or Village or any fire department has not used that structure in years and years and years. I can remember being under 10 and going to the fire department again down by Carolyn, which is now a parking lot. That's where the fire trucks were, cement block building. On this. So it hasn't been used, it hasn't been discovered. There's no public use of it since whenever the fire department moved out on this thing. And you know, superimposed on that, it's not all the building. It's only, there is, they own the building on the north side of it and they own the building on the south side of it. There's just a strip 8 foot wide that goes through the building. Doesn't go through the silo, apparently, according to the sketch here. So in order to clear title and allow the present property owner, Mr. Lalone, to proceed with getting his mortgage and improving his property, wants a mortgage at all, I recommend to the Township Board to provide a quitclaim deed to Mr. Lalone for the purpose of clearing this cloud on his title. Tax rolls are now correct, and they do show, I talked to the assessor, that the township owns it, and she has a copy of the deed too. And I've also talked to the township zoning, excuse me, village zoning administrator about it also, way back, probably in May.
It's probably just an oversight in when the property was liquidated.
Right.
Title correction. But it's common owners on both sides, same owner. Everything's, you know, all one owner.
So everything you see there on the drawing and on the survey is owned by Mr. Lalone, except the red diagonal, 8 foot piece.
And frankly, I don't know how many times, but this property has changed hands several times between the time of this error. So a lot of other folks didn't pick it up until now. So it's one of those hidden surprises.
We like to find those around here.
Yeah.
Apparently, at least 50 years old, if not in this case, over 100.
Yes. What action do we just have to make a motion to quit claim deed this
right
to the existing owner?
This little parcel.
I'm good with that.
You'll make a
I'll make the motion. What am I supposed to say here? That we provide a quit claim deed to the owner, Leone, for the parcel described on the survey.
Okay. We have support.
I'll second that.
Matt supports. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying.
Do a roll call, please.
What's that?
Do a roll call, please.
Okay, roll call.
Roll call vote, Amos?
Yes.
Boisbert, yes. Holtz?
Yes.
Soper?
Yes.
Motion passes. Mike Szymanski is absent. K, Okay. At this point, we're a little ahead of schedule. I want to go, if it's okay with the board, I'd like to jump over to attorney's report because we'll back up at about 10 o'clock to go to closed session. If that's okay with you, Bill?
Sure.
Okay. Is the board okay with that?
Yes.
Attorney's report for September. Ken Williams brought you up with, Williamson brought it up to date on the Mambas agreement. So it looks like the townships in Antrim County will be, at least the vast majority of them, will be joining underneath that agreement, signing a contract, signing an agreement. I just don't know. We'll see what the budgets for the township fire department is after that and so forth, if there's any fees at all, or if you want to plan for it ahead of time. Zoning ordinance 2022-01. The township board okayed it last month. It was published August 11th. It went into effect about August 19th, and the township clerk and zoning administrator presented the black books with all the materials in it. So that zoning ordinance amendment is in existence and is in effect. Library property, circuit court action. The judge interpreted the statute that was under question. He interpreted it as a may. You're not prohibited from doing it. It's not used for public purposes by the township. It's not needed for any public purposes, so the township may transfer its interest in that property. Now all you need is an agreement, transfer agreement with the village. And we're in the process of doing that right now. Once we get the transfer agreement, Barnum's drafting it and circulating it. Once that's approved by everybody, then the township will convey the property.
Bill,
if the board says.
Just for clarification, that was only one part of the suit, correct?
It's only interpretation of that. There's all kinds of other allegations in the lawsuit itself, three or four more, I'm assuming, and I shouldn't do that probably, but I believe Barnum has made a consideration that, and I think the court's been advised that if there's transferred, the suit will be dismissed.
Yeah, just so everyone's clear, because I think it's a situation from the people I've spoke with that we must give it, and that's the whole charge, and it really isn't. We were asking the question, can we? Because our attorneys were telling us that we weren't able to, given the certain law that was on the books. And Judge Elsheimer did agree that to what Bill said, may allows us to do this, so now it's a decision. But there were some other claims in the suit that we'll have to clean up as well.
Right, adverse possession is one, other interpretations of the wording. But we're not at that issue yet, or that stage yet.
So should we come to terms with the transfer agreement, then Elsheimer, the judge, will waive and close the suit?
No, there will be a stip. We can clarify that with Barnum, okay? But I believe there will be a stipulation signed by the township and village to dismiss the lawsuit with prejudice because of our agreement.
Okay.
Next thing on my list was the cemetery. There is a village request scheduled for the November 8th ballot, 0.6 mil for 10 years. It was done last month. Just as was indicated, I didn't realize it was so much, but there's 21 acres of property there, and there's 70 plus or minus percent utilized. So you've got 30% vacancy rate. Short-term rentals, I don't have anything new at the state level. There is two statutes, bills, pending still. They have not come up for a final vote. Sewer SAD construction, Donis has already reported on that. The tax tribunal matters are with Barnum. I believe there's going to be a closed session discussion on that with pending township legislation or township suits actions. The amended sewer agreement with the village, I've heard nothing about. You've heard about the REU purchase. There's being negotiated with the village, and you're tentatively earmarked the second draw of the COVID monies to aid in the purchase of REUs. Dart Trail, I defer to Shelley on that matter. anything else, I don't. I've already reported on the charter franchise renewal extension. Therefore, I have nothing else to report on.
Okay. Is there any questions for Bill? Okay. We have a couple of minutes so we can move on to Township Board announcements and correspondence. Shelley, have we got any of that this month?
We're gearing up for the November election. Hopefully we'll have ballots in our office by the last week of September. And we already have close to 800 applications for absentee ballots for this election.
When do the absentees actually go out?
Well, I need the ballots first, and they come through the county from the state. And there's usually a glitch there, but hopefully I'll have them by the end of September. And I'm actually thinking about putting a little ad in the newspaper that states that I have ballots in the office, because the application from August for an absentee ballot gave people a choice to say, use the same application for November. So we saved all those applications, and now I have them all, but people aren't in the same spot in November as they were in August. So I think what I'll do instead of before I mail is put something in the paper that says, I now have ballots in the office if you'd like to come down and pick it up, and I have your application. You know, that'll just save people a little time before they actually leave. We're still working through that.
But some people would have to sign for an absentee that are not on that list now if they want to.
Yes.
And when would they do that?
They can do that at any time.
Of the time
they won't get a ballot up until I have them. But yeah, okay. Anybody can apply for an absentee ballot.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. At this point, I'm going to move to the closed session discussion. We have two legal matters to discuss. So, oh.
You need a first.
Yeah. Close, excuse me.
You want me to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a question. When you do the mailing of that, can you include that septic
No, I cannot. It's state envelopes for the ballots, so nope, I can't put anything extra in there.
I thought you were going to give a notice out to people.
I'm going to put a notice in the paper.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So that people can know that I have ballots here if they want to do it before they leave to come in. So we're doing closed session. I move to go into closed session to consider material exempt from discussion or disclosure by state or federal law. Items will be discussed, the Island House property and sewer tax tribunal.
Okay. I'll second that. Any discussion?
It would be roll call vote.
Yes.
Roll call. Boisvert, yes. Halts?
Yes.
Soper?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes. And Mike Szymanski is absent.
Okay, so at 9:53 a.m., going into closed session.